Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on a Friday, another snowy Friday. I hope you got that coffee ready this morning. We do, from Prairie Fire Coffee. Appreciate those guys keeping us warm and fueled up. It has been a better snow, but it was a lot of it, I got to tell you. Hope everybody's safe out there, making their way back in. Last round for a little while, and maybe we can get it melted this weekend. We got to snuggle up and watch a great CFP semifinal last night between Notre Dame and Penn State. All those 12-team college football playoff haters, are you not entertained? As we have record bowl game viewing numbers and a fantastic conference, CFP semi. We wouldn't have even had any games before that one in other years. So we'll get into that here. We're going to pick the other one and the rest of the NFL playoff games coming up a little later. We might do a bonus game because there are six NFL games. So maybe we'll do seven this week. We'll do the other CFP game and the other NFL game. So we'll have some fun with that as well. We've got all kinds of fun for you. Brandon Zenner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage will join us for those picks in the second hour. We'll get you ready for a college basketball weekend as well. All caught up on the rest of the sports world. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Man, how much fun was that game last night? I know we're going to get into it a ton, but it was incredible. And I kept telling myself, man, I got to go to bed. I got to go to sleep. You know, I got to do. But I mean, stayed up till the end. It was fantastic. And that's what college football is all about. It, you know, harken back to the old days of college football with programs like Penn State and Notre Dame. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. It was a good game. It was an entertaining game. You had like two different type halves to look at. You had, you know, just excruciating mistakes made for the drama of it. You have storylines continuing with James Franklin, who I think is now something like 1-15 versus top five teams all time in the AP top five. So that was a tough loss for Penn State. I feel bad for him, but it's pretty hard not to root for Marcus Freeman, even if you're not a Notre Dame fan. He's an easy dude to root for. And for, you know, for the diehard Notre Dame fans, it's been a long time since you've been back. And for the, you know, the people that have an affinity for the program, probably more like me, grew up a big Notre Dame fan, certainly don't follow it nearly like I used to. It's good to see him back there. That'll be a fun, either way it goes, it'll be a fun national championship game between Notre Dame and either Ohio State or Texas. And Notre Dame will likely be an underdog to either Ohio State or Texas. If I had to guess, that game tonight could be very different than the game we saw last night, which was more about the defense, more about ball control, moving it around. I think we're going to see more fireworks tonight, Tommy, in the Ohio State-Texas game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of the difference between the styles of the teams that are playing, teams that played last night and the teams that are playing tonight. You're probably going to see a different brand of ball. But the thing about, you know, the Penn State-Notre Dame game, you really saw both quarterbacks, I think, try to put their teams on their shoulders and carry them to victory. And Riley Leonard, there was some question about whether or not he'd be able to play the second half, kind of banged up and that sort of thing, and he did. Jeremiah Love didn't get a ton of action, but, man, the touchdown run that he had in the second half where he would probably broke four or five tackles to get into the end zone, that was phenomenal. I'll tell you what, that last probably 4 or 5 minutes of the game when it's tied up and they're going back and forth and the defenses had kind of been suspect in the second half, they locked down and you saw the teams trading possessions and it came down to a field goal for Notre Dame. I'll tell you what, you mentioned it at the very top of the show. Anybody that had been critical of the 12-team CFP, you can't be critical now because we saw two of the top four teams play last night without question, and they delivered a phenomenal football game. And I don't know if Ohio State and Texas will top the drama that we saw last night, but at least we've got, I feel like, a great representation of the top teams in America playing, and they're going to be able to play for a national championship next week.
And the ultimate winner, I'll keep reminding people till I'm blue in the face, the ultimate winner would not have been there in the old format. And the old and the heavy, we'll call it a heavy, it's not that heavy, but the favorite tonight in the game also would not have been there in the old format. We could very easily, in year one of this new CFP, have two teams in that would not have been invited to the dance in years past. And the crux of the debate for me has always been, you can't tell me with so few teams we are finding the best team with, you can't definitively tell me that every year. People say, oh, the best teams always just end up there anyway. No, they don't. The team that maybe the team that didn't stumble in the regular season or played in the right conference or whatever, yeah, maybe they make it in, but you can't guarantee me the best team never makes it in because the best teams might lose games in the regular season. Like it was just like we don't treat anything else like it. It's so silly, right, to think about it that way. And now you've potentially got two teams in there, at least one, who wouldn't have ever even had the chance to get there. Like, for anybody that still wants to defend it, you had a Power 5 team last year that went undefeated through the season and didn't make it in because their quarterback got hurt. What? Like, just remember that. Like, that's the crap we've been dealing with for our entire college football existence. Having that debate. Should Florida State be penalized because their quarterback got hurt? Well, I know he got hurt and they've won all their games since he's been hurt, but I mean, we just don't think they're as good. Like that's the kind of stuff we would spend the early part of January and late December debating about college football. And we'd be told, oh, the debate's healthy. You're talking about it. Yeah, you're right. We are talking about it because it's absolutely ridiculous and stupid. And we've deserved this. And these teams have deserved this. And these players have deserved this. And Notre Dame, who had a bad day against Northern Illinois, has played their way back through and back into it. And they've earned it, which is what sports in America are all about. This is better. No question.
The only thing that I was concerned about going into these semifinal games was that they would be blowouts one way or the other. I didn't think that they would be because I felt like the level of competition was fairly even in both of these matchups. But I was concerned about what we saw in the first round and then what we saw in the second round outside of the Texas-Arizona State game rolling over into the semis and having blowout games and lending more credibility to all of the 12-team CFP haters this year about how it's not a good system. And we didn't see that last night. And I would suspect we don't see that again tonight. I don't think we're going to see Texas is not going to blow out Ohio State. Could Ohio State blow out Texas? Maybe, but doubtful. So I think we're going to see a pretty evenly matched game on both sides tonight, too. And really, let's be real. Like, this 12-team playoff system, could we see, like, one of the very lowest seeds? Could we see a 12 seed or an 11 seed play for a national championship? I guess maybe, but probably not. This was a way to get the four best teams into the semifinal round, a better way to do that. And I think we've done that. I think the goal has been accomplished. Like, check that box. I think we're there and this year, despite all the blowouts.
There will be a year where that happens, because you'll have a year where an at-large is a team like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But you mentioned those blowouts, Tommy. Since 2018, I'm going to give you the final scores of the national championship games. 44-16, 42-25, 52-24, 33-18, 65-7, and 34-13. Let that marinate, and we'll dig into that, because that has been a topic. But I think it's one we're missing the mark on, because it's college football. We'll come back. We'll discuss it. We got a lot of things to do today at Sports Daily on a Friday. Don't go away.
Dude, you got to hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're talking a little college football. We're trying to stay warm here with the rest of you. Tommy, you're styling on a Friday now here on Sports Daily. Staying warm, whatever you need, you got it.
Yeah, trying to. It's our Friday Fits, the segment of the show brought to you by 3570golfcompany.com. They are a local golf brand, and I know that it doesn't really feel like golf weather outside, but you can always look the part of wearing all these great Midwest-themed golf clothes, and I'm wearing the Amber Waves golf polo today under my quarter zip. It's awesome. The quality is phenomenal. It's got little images of grain, the amber waves of grain. And so it definitely harkens back to our Midwest roots and all of that. But then, they put a lot of care into everything. My friends, Dan and Katie Winters, they've got the 3570 Golf Company. And so I want to thank them for sponsoring the program. You can check out the entire lineup, the entire collection of all of their golf clothing. They've got polos, they've got hoodies, they've got golf head covers, a bunch of other stuff, hats. You can check it out at 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy, get 10% off.
We enjoyed meeting them out at the Wichita Open. Glad they're a part of it, and glad they've got Tommy hooked up with all of his favorite things. It's giddy on Fridays. There's a little twinkle in his eye.
I love it.
Because they got cool stuff. So check it out. Get that discount with the promo code Tommy there. All right. Tommy, you mentioned this, and this has come up a lot. And I get it. And I've even fallen into the trap a little bit of, well, these CFP games, there's such a propensity for a blowout. And I fell into it too, because nobody likes to see that. But then I started to wonder just a little bit, like, I wonder what the average margin of victory, because I think what we do is we expect college football at this point of the year, like in the playoff, to be like it is in the NFL. And I'm not sure it ever is, right? We know, because we pick the games, or if you bet the games, you know the margins are wider. It's not uncommon to see 14, 20-point spreads in college football, where it's almost a non-factor, and it never happens, it seems like, in the NFL. Okay, well, we think about that, and then I go back and I look, because this happens to me every year with college football national championship. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't a very good game. Like, when we first started it, we had a great run of 3 years. The first year of the CFP. Now, this doesn't even go back to the national championship. I'm only talking CFP here, since they've changed it to that. You go back to 2014, right? So you've had four teams in since 2014. The first year of it, Ohio State blew out Oregon by 22 points. The next 3 years, which two of them were Clemson, Alabama, were those really good classic games. Then you had Alabama and Georgia go to overtime. So that took you to 2017. And then since then, in 2018, Clemson beat Alabama 44-16. In 2019, LSU beat Clemson 42-25. In 2020, Bama beat Ohio State 52-24. Georgia in 2021 beat Alabama 33-18. Of course, Big 12 fans want to forget 2022 when Georgia beat TCU 65-7. And then last year, Michigan stomped Washington 34-13. These games are almost never close, right? They're just not. So what? So, like, we should just not watch college football because the championship game might not be close? Like, it usually isn't close. And I don't think that means really much at all. In all of those games we mentioned, I would say half of the time, it was the number one seed doing the blowing out But in one of those years, it was the four seed, right? In another year, one, two, three of those years, it was not a one or a two seed that blew the other team out. So what does that tell you? Well, if you go back before the CFP, those teams that blew them out would not have made the national championship game, right? So, like, I just don't think, if we really think about what college football is, I don't think we should be that surprised by a blowout. And I also think we've got to be real with who is the most likely team this year, Tommy? If a team's going to steamroll through these next two games, who is the team it's most likely to be?
Ohio State.
Would they have even been in this format?
Absolutely not. Not a chance.
It's not really a problem that Ohio State might blow everybody out. They wouldn't have even made the tournament before this year. So I don't think I do have a problem when I really think about it with the blowouts, because they were happening anyway, right? Like the fact that they were happening, they already were happening, and they happen in bowl games all the time. They happen in college football all the time. It's not the NFL where every game is razor thin margins. It's college football where blowouts happen all the time.
Let's look ahead then. I mean, we know one team that will be in the national championship game. That's Notre Dame. Whether it's Ohio State or Texas, do we think that either one of those teams will blow out Notre Dame or vice versa?
I think Ohio State could, as much as I don't want to admit it.
I don't know if they will. I don't think they will. I mean, what I've seen from Notre Dame, they could, but I don't think they will. I don't think either one of the teams that will play tonight will blow out Notre Dame. I certainly don't think Notre Dame will blow out either one of those teams. I think we're going to be in for probably the closest national championship game that we've seen in the last few years, regardless if it's Ohio State or Texas. I really do believe that. And that's on the shoulders of Notre Dame's defense. Marcus Freeman has gotten Notre Dame's defense playing really, really well. And outside of a stretch in the fourth quarter last night, Notre Dame's defense was pretty stifling against Penn State. Do you realize? And this is, I think, due to a couple of different factors. Number one being just the inability of James Franklin to work the portal. Do you realize that Drew Aller had zero completions to wide receivers last night?
Yeah.
And I know he worked his tight end. His tight end is like the main pass catcher on that team. But I think it's also a little bit of credit is due to the Notre Dame defense for shutting that down for sure. I mean, they had some crucial interceptions off of Aller, especially one extremely late in the game that ultimately led to the win for Notre Dame. I think that regardless, if we're talking about Ohio State and Texas, do I think Notre Dame will win the national championship? I don't know. I'm not ready to make that prediction quite yet, but I certainly don't think we're looking at a blowout.
The history tells me that it's usually the great juggernaut type offenses that really thrive once you get there. I hope that a great defense and a great run game and all these things, and Notre Dame doesn't go portaling either. I think they had only 13 players from the portal on their team, just as an aside, which is wild to think about. But I think typically in college football, the juggernaut offenses, here's why I think Ohio State could give them real fits, is because Ohio State is really good on offense, but they're also really good on defense. So if Notre Dame doesn't score a ton of points typically anyway, are they going to score a ton of points all of a sudden in Ohio State? I think that's unlikely. And I think Ohio State's offense is always capable of putting on a big show because they have the best skill players in the country. And they Will Howard, who can get the skill players the ball very well. I really hope Texas beats Ohio State for a lot of reasons, but one of them is I think it'll give us a much, much better national championship.
You're going against
game.
Your boy, Will Howard?
I don't like Ohio State, and that's a good point, and I have tried very hard this year.
Will Howard's your boy.
I know. I love the story of Will Howard. I love what he... Riley Leonard's the same thing. We're getting the same thing from Riley Leonard, right? Like these really great players who had kind of timed out to some degree. Maybe more for Will Howard than Riley Leonard, but then they get the chance to go be in these moments. I think that's awesome.
You do know what you're hoping for. If Texas beats Ohio State, that'll be the last time we see Will Howard. I mean, because I certainly don't think that Will Howard is an NFL caliber quarterback right now.
I think you might be overstating what I love Will Howard because he gave K-State so many good years, but I don't like Ohio State. Like, I hope Will Howard has achieved the level of success that I would have wished for him. Like, he's been financially in a good place, and now he's playing in the CFP semifinal. Like, I hope he has a good game, but I'm not rooting for Ohio State. Like, I don't like Ohio State at all. I don't want them to win. I'd much rather see Texas win than Ohio State. I hope Will Howard all the best ever. Like, he deserves all of it, and I think he's awesome. But I don't like Ohio State. And I do think we'll get a much better national championship game if Ohio State's not in it. I think the likelihood of a close Texas-Notre Dame game is more likely than the likelihood of a Notre Dame. I think it's more, if we're going to have a blowout, the most likely scenario to me is Ohio State over Notre Dame. And I don't want to see that anyway. Plus, I'm rooting for Notre Dame, so I'd like to see Ohio State go away. Texas, well, you want to talk about Texas is so interesting to me because they have had most of the year this incredible defense that hasn't played particularly well lately. And then we know they've got, like, if there's any team in the country who can match up skill guy-wise with Ohio State this year, it's Texas. Texas is interesting. And then they've got a big decision to make with Quinn Ewers. That'll be a fascinating one down the road as we see Carson Beck transfer yesterday. Carson Beck of Georgia is leaving, probably going to Miami. The young folks in the office tell me he's got a girlfriend at Miami who's very famous and plays basketball there. So there's
that.
Is
she one of those? Aren't there twins that play basketball for Miami? Is she one of them?
Yep, that's what I hear.
Okay.
Apparently, he dates
one.
You
don't know those twins? Have you ever seen those twins?
Not before yesterday.
But you've seen them now. Okay.
So let me just get you up to speed on how old I am. I want to say that this discussion has come up in a text thread among goofballs before. Because I think Jake Ferguson, the Cowboys tight end, might date the other one.
Okay.
The other twin. And so people are like, oh, yeah, he's going to Miami. He's dating the, I can't remember
Cavender.
The last
name. Isn't it the Cavender
twins?
Yeah,
the Cavender twins. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? They're like, the Cavender twins. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, what's the story? So I was quickly informed that they played, I think, at Fresno State and then transferred. Now they're at Miami. They're very famous.
They got like a bag of NIL money, I think, to go to Miami.
Yeah. Good for them, which is awesome. But so apparently I'm like, well, yeah, Carson Beck's going to make a boatload of money to go play in Miami and be around his celebrity girlfriend for a year. That might be a better option than being a fifth round pick in the NFL. Like, that sounds pretty good to me.
I saw speculation when it came down yesterday that he was going to transfer, that like the top two potential landing spots for him was Miami and Texas Tech. And I'm like, let me think about it. Would I rather go to Miami or would I rather go to Lubbock? Like, give me Miami any day of the week.
I think, okay, here's a hot take for you. Miami's an overrated city. I don't love Miami. It's okay. I have a lot of good memories of Miami. Got to cover a Super Bowl there. One of my great college memories was a trip to Miami. A lot of good memories there. And if I was Carson Beck's age and in his situation, Miami would be a great spot. But I do think Miami's a little bit overrated. Just a little bit. Like, they got great Cuban sandwiches down there. I'm not a huge beach guy. So it's like,
see, I'd rather be on the beach any day.
Traffic kind of sucks. So it's like, okay, like the allure of it. I'm like, oh yeah, Miami.
And this may be insulting to you. I'm just gonna say it. I mean, I know you're a Texas guy. Miami over Lubbock. I mean, give me Miami any day of the week.
I'm sure. Although now, let me say this. Let me defend, because I
know you're a West Texas guy.
I know, and I have to say this. I grew up, and I did not like Texas Tech, despised them, because I went to a school right up the road that had an incredible football program that ran a similar system, and like, there was a time where my Division II school was sending more players to the NFL than Texas Tech. So we always had like that little brother aspect to it, right? Like, oh yeah, Tech, blah, 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 whatever. So I kind of had this thing where I was like, yeah, whatever, I don't like Tech. Why are you guys rooting for Tech? You know, and when most of the people I know go to Tech. Now, as I've gotten older, especially since I've moved away, like, I love Tech. I'm like, because it's nostalgic. I'm like, that is home. And I will tell you that Lubbock is an incredible place to party. Like, if you like the music that I like, and I know you like some of it, all of those great bands are just rolling through the college bar scene in Lubbock all the time. I just got this. we have time for this. So going home for Christmas. So I'm the youngest of five boys. I have nieces and nephews, several of them now, that are drinking age, that are party age, that are, you know, they all have fake IDs anyway, but they're basically in college. We'll just call it that. They're in college. And because I'm gone, like, I've missed the opportunity of, like, being the cool young uncle with all of them. Like, I am as close to my oldest nephew in age as I am to my oldest brother. So this Christmas trip, we finally got the chance. And we're, of course, out in the country, and we're at a barn, and we're, like, we're karaokeing on a makeshift karaoke, and everybody's having fun and, like, just acting like college kids, which, of course, I'm like, yeah, let me in on that. But they were karaokeing the songs that I listened to. They were karaokeing, like, we went through not only, like, the great country music and the young country people and all these up and comers, but, like, we did Afro Man, we did Green Day, Alice in Chains. I'm like, how do you guys even know about this stuff? But it really was like a look back. Like, it's exactly like we were. And so most of them go to Texas Tech and they're telling me stories. I'll give you Afro Man as an example. I'm like, do you guys know Afro Man? I'm like, what do you mean? Do we know Afro Man? Of course they throw it on and it's wildly inappropriate. And all the older people in the room are like, whoa, what is this? And I'm like, I'm so impressed. You know, Afro Man. And then one of my nephews pulls up a picture of my niece and Afro Man in a picture at a bar in Lubbock.
What?
And I'm like, all right. Like, you guys are cool. Like, you guys
sounds
are cool.
Sounds like a Mad Libs game, Afro Man in Lubbock.
Anywho, full circle on that, it's a great place to party. It's a great college town. If you've never – now, is it pretty? No.
Yeah.
Is the weather great? No, it's not. Yeah. But it is a great party town.
Listen,
as a quick hat tip to Texas Tech, I also contend that every college town is a great party town. There's not one that exists.
Otherwise. I don't pretend to know a whole lot about West Texas, but I've been watching Landman. And if that tells me anything
that's
about Midland
West,
and Odessa,
that
like
that's not
West
Lubbock.
Texas, isn't it? Like
that's not Lubbock.
Part
no,
of West
that's,
Texas.
It's Lubbock. I mean, that's Midland, Odessa. There isn't anybody like in Texas desolate. That has many. There isn't anybody in Texas that has many nice things to say about Midland, Odessa. Just as an aside, and my apologies to anybody from the Midland, Odessa area. They were in our district.
Good old high
school
football, though. I mean, I remember reading Friday Night Lights and watching the movie and all of that.
Yeah, right. They were in my district in high school. So, like, we would play a Tuesday night baseball game and have to drive 4.5 hours for it down to Midland from Amarillo. That was – I don't have any love loss for the area of Landman. And I think they're doing a good job of painting the picture of what it's like down there. It is crazy town down there, especially during the oil booms, like wild. I've known people that have worked down there. And they tell me what they have to pay for rent. It's a wild, wild place. Landman's going to be a lot of fun from my experiences there. There's a lot of great people down there like there are anywhere else. But let's not lump Midland. We call that the Permian Basin.
Okay.
We don't call that West Texas.
That's not West Texas.
Some people
gotcha.
Might.
Okay.
That's the Permian Basin. West Texas is pretty much Amarillo and Lubbock, and like that's it. Nobody else gets to come in on that. Some people try, but that to me, that's not West Texas. That's
still,
the Permian
you know,
Basin.
Give me Miami if I'm Carson Beck any day.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I saw his girlfriend.
South Beach with one
it.
Of the twins. I mean,
yeah,
come
I
on.
It. I get it. You'll be a big shot in town. It's fine. Music won't be as good though. I'll tell you that right now. And you know, anywho, that was a weird sidebar, but a fun one. I've been intending to tell you about how cool it was to party with my nieces and nephews and see that they're exactly like I used to be. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Sitting in a barn, makeshift karaoke. We like hooked some wires together to get it going and everybody's just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Do they all drink Coors Original? That seems to be kind of the
yes.
clear choice.
Yes. There was a lot of Coors Original there. And yeah, like a community
a pack
of cigarettes
light,
on the table. And I'm like, this is college for me. This is so good. Like, this is so great. Oh, it was fun. All right, we'll come back. We'll begin to open the can a little bit into the football weekend and get it all previewed up for you. It's Albrock and Caster. It's Sports Daily on a Friday.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jake Albrock, Tommy Caster. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. We'll be opening up at 10 o'clock in the Wichita locations and in Derby. So 10 o'clock opening today with the snow. Trying to get through this last round before we can get it all melted. Anyway, if you want to win a free tea, including the newly released root beer tea and a free coffee, all you got to do is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Man, I'm sick of this snow, Tommy. I'm sick of this snow. It's really pretty snow. I'll give it that. And a wet snow, at least. But I'm over it. Bring on the spring.
You know, the roads really are not awful. Like, they're not great. Don't get me wrong. But they're better than what they were Monday and Tuesday, I think, because we just got the snow. We didn't get the ice this time around. So if you give yourself a little bit of extra time, it took me, I don't know, extra 5 minutes to get to work today to come here and be in the studio. So it really was a lot better than trying to drive in earlier this week.
I'll tell you that, and I assume you were mostly on side streets. Last night, I was driving home as it really started to pile up and come down. And I will say this, I have never seen more slide-offs in any conditions than I saw last night about 6:30, 7 o'clock on K96. It was wild. And I've narrowly avoided it about two or three times. Like, if I got above about 20 miles an hour on K96, I was headed to the ditch. And so I'm like, okay, everybody was like, everybody just had their hazards on, inching along. And it was wild because they had gotten most of that cleared, but it was just that it was so wet. That snow was so wet, which is really pretty. It was slick. Now, of course, they've had a chance to get most of that plowed, and the stuff on the side streets was fine because it just fell on other snow.
Yeah.
But highways were tough.
I have a philosophy. Like, if I'm going to drive in this stuff, I'm going to avoid highways at all costs. Like, I would rather take the side roads and go 10 miles an hour on a side road if I need to. Fewer cars on those roads. And, you know, I feel like it's, you know, for me at least, a better situation.
It was a last minute decision. It was the wrong one. And I knew it immediately. As Rick says, don't drive on the highway. I'm usually of the same boat, but I'm like, you know, I was on this road not that long ago and they had it totally cleared and it's not that cold outside. It's like, I wonder if it's even sticking yet on the highway because people will be driving on it. And gambled incorrectly. I was like, immediately, as soon as I was on the on-ramp and I got like a look up and I could just see all the headlights facing the wrong direction, I was like, crap. Like, that was not the right choice. And it was wild on the highway. So yeah, that is always a good philosophy, is just give the plows a chance to get those highways cleared and stay to the side streets. Because side streets, you're on, you know, when you're on snow and it's piled up, you've got pretty good traction if you can clear the drifts, right? So anyway, stay safe out there, everybody. Give yourself a little extra time today. If you're about to head out the door, if you're just getting in your car, maybe you're letting it warm up. We got about another day of this. I bet the plow crews are going to knock it out today quickly, I'm sure. And then hopefully we'll get a little reprieve from all this, for at least a little while here, and we can soak in maybe some of this good moisture. Just keep telling yourself about the moisture. We are in a drought. Anywho, NFL. News, they will move the Vikings game against the Rams because of the fires out there. One of the sad, sad things happening in the world right now. We saw the line move on that, Tommy. I think about a point and a half with the move to Arizona, so no more home field advantage for the Rams. Of all of these games, I do think that is the most exciting game that we're looking ahead to. Like, that's the one most people are looking forward to the most. We talked about it yesterday, right? Like, both of these teams you could see making runs, you know, through this thing and finding their way into a playoff. But this round, I think, is shaping up to be pretty dang good. Like, we've got four of the six games where we don't feel like we have a heavy favorite. And that's a pretty good, like, we were just talking about college football and some of the margins. That's a pretty good wild card weekend for the NFL to have four of six, at least have the feeling going in that they're going to be real close games.
And even one of the other ones that there is more of a larger spread, I'm actually really excited about. That's the Broncos and the Bills. I'm really excited about that game. You know, considering that it looks like, I think at least last check, that Buffalo is expecting snow this weekend, and you know, the Broncos coming in and after what they did to the Chiefs backups a week ago. I do think that Denver's defense can get after it against Josh Allen. That's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. I know the spread is a little bit larger in that game than some of the other ones this weekend, but that's another one I'm really excited about.
I think the Ravens, now they're not going to have Zay Flowers. That might be a weather game. There's a decent chance that game gets close too. Wild card weekend is not my favorite NFL playoff weekend. Next week is my favorite NFL play. I love the divisional round typically. This one looks like it's going to be pretty good. And we're going to pick all these games with Paul and Brandon and TJ. I would say right now, I don't like any of the underdogs to win. I like all the favorites. We've got two of those favorites on the road in the Vikings and the Chargers. And then I like all the other home teams here. Do you like any of the outright underdogs to win any of their games this weekend? Not considering the spread, because we'll pick those in just a little bit, but just as outright winners.
I like the Rams in their matchup. We'll talk about that when we pick it, but I do like that game. I think that might be the only one that I'm really leaning on as far as, you know, potentially an underdog upsetting.
That would be, I think that's the most likely. I want to say we're not giving the Texans enough credit, and maybe we're not, but
I could see the Texans beating the Chargers at home. I don't know how likely that is, but I could see that one being the case too. That's probably the next one.
You've got that one, and they're probably not playing as bad as like the Steelers, for instance. The Packers, they've got some injuries to deal
with.
Can
the Commanders beat the Bucks? I think that's probably one too.
Yeah. That's the one it's for sure a possibility. They had a better record during the regular season. Like, they were a better team during the regular season. It's really just the rookie quarterback, and can he get it done? It kind of reminds me of C.J. Stroud last year a little bit. I think the Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield have the propensity. They're a weird team too, right? Like, they have a lot of the things that you could see help them make a little bit of a run. But they also have shown us throughout the year they can just flat, like, lose any game too. They had that stretch where they lost four in a row earlier in the year. They've been much better lately. They've only lost one game since their bye week. It was that game against the Cowboys, a really close game. But if we're being fair, they played the Giants, they played Carolina, they played the Raiders, they played Carolina again, and they played the Saints. They kind of just, like, beat up on their division. They did beat the Chargers badly, 40-17. You might remember that one, and that one was on the road. But otherwise, they have been a team that beats bad teams this year and kind of loses to good teams. They've played Washington earlier in the year. They beat them badly, but that was the first game ever for Jaden Daniels. They have a win over Detroit. They have a win over Philadelphia. So maybe I'm not being fair, but they also have losses to a lot of good teams too. They're a hard team to predict. I guess the moral of my story with Tampa is they're a really hard team to figure, because when they play well, they can beat anybody, but they're also capable of a dud. And I don't know if that's a direct reflection of Baker Mayfield.
I don't think it is. I do think it is. I mean, I think when he is on, he is locked in and really, really good. When he's not, the team goes the way that Baker Mayfield goes. And there's not a whole lot, I think, else outside of that really dictates the way that the Buccaneers will play a game, whether or not, you know, Baker Mayfield is actually locked in. Because when he is, he's got a great weapon in Mike Evans. Their running game is, you know, really kind of a two or three headed monster down there. And so they, you know, kind of lean on several different guys like Bucky Irving and Rashad White and all of that. But really, it's the Baker Mayfield show. It's the big show. And if he can get locked in and if he can be on point and accurate and the gunslinger that he is, they usually go with him and they can put up a ton of points and a ton of yards. But if he's not, then it's a different kind of story for the Bucs.
See, so here's what's funny about that. In games, I'm just looking at his log for the year. In games where he's thrown more than one interception, which has been five times this year, the Buccaneers are 3-2 in those games. So that's what makes it hard for me. Like, yeah, when he's really good, they're hard to beat.
Yeah.
But they have won games against good teams where he has been, let's call it average, right? And so I don't know what the other thing is. I think their defense isn't very good, but it's inconsistent. So they're just really hard to figure out. I like them in this game to win. Now the spread, we'll get into that in a minute. I like them to win, but they may be the most difficult of the first round team. Like, I guess the floor and the ceiling maybe feels the widest with Tampa to me in the postseason period that there is left or going into the postseason. Tampa has the widest range of margins, even more to me than the Rams. I think Tampa's range is wider.
On top of that, too, I mean, really, this team is very, very similar to the same team last year that won a playoff game. There really isn't a whole lot different from last year to this year for the Bucs. Same quarterback, same head coach, same weapons, you know, all of that for the most part. They won a playoff game a year ago, so they know how to be in the playoffs and win. And so I do think that that sort of thing is important, too. And you can't discount the importance of this team being in this place before and knowing how to win when it matters.
I want you to look at all of these teams, every single one of them, and the two teams that have a bye, and they all have one thing in common. One thing. They've got good quarterbacks. Man. Is that there's just not anything like the impact in sports that a singular player or position has than a quarterback in the NFL. Every one of them. And you can say Russell Wilson's not a good quarterback anymore. Dude might be a Hall of Famer, right? So I'm not going to just all of a sudden say Russell Wilson's terrible. He played really well at one part of the season. He hasn't been playing very well lately, but I'm not going to call him a bad quarterback. They're the closest thing to a team, though, at the moment without, like, at this very day, a good quarterback. Everybody else, like, it's the common denominator between what it takes to make the playoffs in the NFL and not. I mean, it's that simple. Now, there are some young ones. You've got two rookies starting in these games in Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. But every other team, like, and you can say Sam Darnold's not a good quarterback. Well, he's been an MVP candidate this year. So this year he has, too, been a good quarterback. But that's it in the NFL. Like, if you can't start there, as we look at all these coaching openings and everything else, like, if you can't start there at quarterback and you're a prospective coach, like Mike Vrabel, if Mike Vrabel takes a job where they don't have quarterback established, he's nuts. Because he'd had a ton of success without a great quarterback. Don't do that again, Mike Vrabel. Go find, if you believe in Drake May, that's one thing. That's great. But if you don't, you can't take that job. You can't do it.
Yeah, go to Chicago or, you know, go to, I don't know, Jacksonville, I guess. Even though Trevor Lawrence isn't great, at least there's an established quarterback in place there. You know, the Jets is not a good landing spot for Mike Vrabel because of that. The Raiders, not a good landing spot for Vrabel because of that. The Raiders situation is wild, though, considering Tom Brady's impact there. They fired their general manager yesterday, a couple of days after they fired Antonio Pierce. This coaching carousel, it always is insane. But man, like, it's getting wild, and it just continues.
It's all about the quarterbacks. We're going to tell you when our three college basketball teams play when we return. We're going to make all the picks for these games. We're talking about in hour number two. So stay tuned for all of that. We're coming right back on Sports Daily.